Well, I invite you to turn with me now to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians, chapter 3. We'll begin our reading at verse number 1. And then we'll go down to the end of the chapter, verse 21. So Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever I gain, or whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but that comes from the law. But that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." And then we trust the Lord will bless the reading of God's precious, holy, infallible word to our hearts. Well, we've come and gathered together on this first Lord's Day of 2016. Certainly we count God to be faithful to us as we think about this past year, 2015, the Lord has certainly undertaken for his people. We are recipients of much grace, much help, and certainly the Lord is one who knows the needs of his people before we even ask of those needs, and he supplies abundantly in his Son, Jesus Christ. But as we come before us, well, I should say this new year is before us, and it's important that as we think about this new year that is before us, that we have forward thinking, that we think in terms the Lord is giving us a new year of opportunities, a new year of service, a new year of giving ourselves to Him, that He would use us for the extension of His kingdom and for His glory. He has a plan and a purpose for your life and for my life, and He wants to use us. We're called to serve Him. And as Paul is speaking to us here in the book of Philippians, his desire was to go forward in the cause of Christ. He said in verse 12, I press on to make the knowledge of Christ my own, to understand and receive the power of Christ's resurrection. I want this to be my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Jesus has called me to Himself. I am His child. I belong to Him. And so he says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I'm straining forward to what lies ahead. And so the past is gone, but now I am looking forward to how the Lord is going to work in my life and that I'll have a closer walk with Him. I'm straining forward to what lies ahead. In verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So his eyes were fixed on a prize. His eyes were fixed on Christ. The former life was now removed. It's gone. And now his desire was to do everything that was pleasing and glorifying to his Savior, to his God. Now, as we think about this past year and how we've lived, it's important to understand and see, well, have I grown in this past year? Have I truly spent time with God in this past year? Have I enabled myself to mature? Have I put myself in that place where God can use me and where God worked through me and in me? Have I spent time with God in His Word? Have I been consistent in my time with the Lord in prayer? Did my witness help perhaps direct someone to Christ or at least to think about Christ? Did I make Christ and His gospel a priority? Because certainly each year is building on itself, isn't it? Where the desire is that we would mature in our faith and in our life. In fact, Paul says here in verse 15, as we are striving for this forward goal of this upward call of God in Christ, he says, let those of us who are mature think this way. So this desire for maturity is thinking of in terms of striving for that growth in Jesus Christ, of knowing more of Jesus Christ. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you as well. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. And so the Lord is one who will reveal immaturity in His people, a lack of growth, a lack of where, no, we are not where we should be. We're not where we need to be. But Lord, I need Your life in my heart. I need more of Your Spirit so that I will grow in this grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that He will become that priority in my life that He needs to be. Because as we reflect, as we think about how the Lord is working in us and through us, it's very easy to think, well, I have had certain hopes and dreams of going on with God, of serving God, of knowing God, and certain things in my life that I was hoping to do, and perhaps those things remain unfulfilled. That we have this sense where, no, I'm lacking and I'm not doing what I need to do. And I was hoping to be farther along in my maturity in my life of Christ, but I'm not there yet. And even though we fail, even though we fall short of God's glory, even though we find ourselves where we don't think we should be, like we find ourselves here and the desire is to be up here and to go on over here. The Lord remembers that one who is working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And He will bring us to that place of maturity. The key is that we're looking to Him by faith. And that the Lord would grant us more faith, more of Christ, more of that life. Remember, the faith that we possess is that gift that He grants to us. We need more of that in our hearts and our lives. And that our Christianity and our faith is built on a finished work. Christ said at the cross, "It is finished, it is complete. I have redeemed my people. My blood is shed for my people. I will bring them to myself. All that the Father has given to me, I will no less bring them to myself. They will come to me." And so we come because He calls us. We come because the desire is to live for Him and to be living lives that are pleasing for Him. And so even though perhaps in this past year we have had unfulfilled hope, unfulfilled dreams, unfulfilled a work for God, we haven't been where we need to be. We're not where we need to be or should be. But yet, remember, 2016 is before us. And so strive to make Christ a priority in your heart and your life. Look to Him to work in you by His Spirit. Know fresh grace. Remember, we rely on fresh grace each day to enable us to serve our Savior, our Master. And He wants the best for us. He wants to use us. So look to 2016 as fresh opportunities for yourself and for your life in service to God. In service to God. And that's why I would like us to focus this morning on verses 13 and 14. It says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead." And so essentially saying, I have not achieved any level of spirituality. I have not come to that place where I'm satisfied or I'm happy. I want to know more of Christ. And this is the Apostle Paul. A very righteous and holy man who is giving himself to God. And yet he's saying, I don't want to come to any level of spirituality. I want more. I want more of Christ. And so one thing I do, I'm forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forward, forward thinking. And so to go forward then, Paul is directing us here to deal with the past. We must deal with the past. We're forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. The reality is, and we all know this, that we cannot change our past. We cannot change the sins of the past. We cannot change the failures of the past. Paul essentially is saying here at the beginning of the chapter that he had lived as a very righteous man in his own mind. But he was very self-righteous. He was looking to the law to justify himself. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And in terms of the law, he considered himself blameless. But all these attainments, all these things that he was looking for in terms of his relationship with God, he said, I count that as rubbish. It's nothing. It's got to be behind me because I'm not going to justify myself in terms of keeping the law perfectly. For by means of the law shall no man justify themselves. And so he was forsaking the old man. He was forsaking the old life. He saw his failure. He saw his unrighteousness. He recognized he was a sinner. And that his need was essentially Jesus Christ. He wanted more of Christ in his life. And we may look back and say, yes, I have failed. I've sinned. But praise be to God that there is forgiveness. that there is cleansing through the blood of Jesus Christ, and that our God does not hold our sins and our failures against us. He does not hold your sin against you because it's under the blood. When we come confessing our transgressions, isn't it God who restores us to himself, makes us his children, and a God who removes our sin and transgression from us as far as the east is from the west? He holds it not against you. Therefore, Paul was able to say with assurance, I am forgetting that which has gone in the past. My life of unrighteousness, my life of self-righteousness, that which when I was living against God and fighting against God, that's gone. I am forward thinking. I am pressing on to my Savior, Jesus Christ. Because remember in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? He's a new creation. We are made new. He grants us a renewed nature, a nature that no longer wants to fight against him, but a nature that now wants to give ourselves to him, to serve him. And the old has passed away. He said, behold, the new has come. All things become new in Christ. A new desire. Desires that we didn't have before. Unfortunately, there are many who come to church and they want to add Jesus to their lifestyle. They want to be a Christian 1 or 2 hours a week when they come to church and they're with others. But when it comes to the rest of the week, well, I don't have time for Christ. I don't have time for God. I have so many other things on my plate, so many other things to do. And serving Christ is not a lifestyle choice. It's not where we kind of fit him in when we're able to. I mean, if you're living that way, if in essence you're living for yourself and you think you can just kind of allow Jesus to fill in those little gaps that you have, you're not truly living for Christ. You're living for yourself. You're living for this world. You're living for that which is temporal, and it will not lead you to happiness or satisfaction. We need to repent from any kind of lifestyle choices that do not have Christ as its center. Christ must be all in all. And then we live according to our life in him. We do not compartmentalize our life. There's no point where we have our work life, our school life, our home life, our life with our friends. And then, yeah, well, I have my church life as well. And I'll put Jesus in there in different places. No, Christ is the center. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Paul was not desiring to plug Jesus into his life. For him to live was Christ. It was Christ. And as he was living for Christ, he saw that God was directing his life in every possible way. That God had his hand on his life and was using him. And he was prospering and he was successful. Perhaps not in the worldly sense, but in God's eyes, he was a man who gave himself fully to the Lord, and the Lord was pleased with him. You know, when you give yourself to Christ, you have faith in Christ. Christ is the one who washes and cleanses you, makes you his own, and then, of course, God is pleased with you. He wants to use you. And so do not look back at the past. Do not let your past, if you have a past of failure, of sin, where in this past year you know you haven't been living right, do not let that past handcuff you in thinking, well, because I haven't served the Lord the way I should, well, things are just going to continue on the way they are, and well, then now I can't serve God. That's the devil's lie. We confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I mean, you know that verse. When we come to him for cleansing, then our life then has that renewal. We come to Him and give ourselves to Him. We're made new. And we can forget those failures that we've had in the past. Forget those things. Remember, when the Scripture says forget, the Bible means no longer to be influenced by or affected by those sins, by that old life. I mean, Paul did not want his old life of self-righteousness to affect how he was living now for Christ. His attitude had completely changed. And so he is not suggesting that he would conveniently have a bad memory. He certainly was very aware of how he lived. But he did not want to have that old life to influence him. He was forgetting those things which were behind. Now, he was also not suggesting the impossible feat of mental and psychological gymnastics by which we try to erase the sins and mistakes of the past. Can't do that. But it simply means that we break the power of the past by living for the future, because we're not living for ourselves, we're living for our Savior. A good example of this is Joseph. Remember Joseph, the book of Genesis? His brothers wanted to kill him. They were jealous of him. Now, they were not able to kill him, you know that, right? What did they do to Joseph? Threw him in a pit. They sold him. And he was taken down to Egypt. He was there in Potiphar's house. He served in Potiphar's house. Then he had to go to prison because of Potiphar's wife and her false accusations against him. And there he is. He's enduring this life of affliction. But later on, when the Lord blessed him and took him from that prison house and made him second in command under Pharaoh in Egypt, and he was now in a very powerful position, and his brothers returned to him, remember what his attitude was? He forgot about his afflictions of the past. He saw God at work in his life. And his desire was now to tell his brothers, no, God is in control here. No, I'm not in control. God is sovereign in my circumstances. And so the Lord had a purpose to bring me here to Egypt to preserve life and to preserve your life. Even though your desire was to kill me and destroy me, God overruled. God overruled. And I am placed here for a reason and for a purpose. And so I'm not going to allow the past to affect my relationship with you or how I serve God. No, future thinking, a desire to go on with God, to take each day as a day whereby the Lord has done good things. Even though he was mistreated, he saw the Lord at work. Can you have that attitude? Can you recognize that in your life? Even though you've failed God in the past, do not let that handcuff you. Do not let that influence you. But allow the Lord to work in your heart and your life so that today, in the future, you're not living for yourself, you're living for Christ. Go forward in that. But notice second, also we're to reach for the goal that is set before us. So we're to forget those things which are behind. We're straining to forward to that which lies ahead. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 12, I press on to make it my own. So the desire is not to reach any kind of spiritual plateau or to say that I have now arrived at that spiritual level that I want to be. No, I will never arrive at that spiritual level that I want to be until I'm with him in glory. So I press. In fact, the same verb is translated, I follow after in Philippians 3:12. It carries this idea of intense endeavor.
So he wasn't satisfied with his spirituality. It was always, I need more of Christ. I need to know him. I need to know the power of his resurrection, or his that power of that resurrected life in me, because my Savior's alive. I'm not following one who is dead in the grave. I'm following one who's sitting at the right hand of God. They're making intercession for me. And so I am pursuing him. I'm pursuing this relationship with him. I'm not just following the law. He tried that in the past and that failed. I'm not just following words from a book. It's a relationship. A relationship. His desire was to build this relationship with his Savior. In fact, the Greeks, they use this term in terms of describing a hunter who eagerly pursues his prey. So here is one who has left his family to go out and get food, and he's not going to return unless he kills something, he catches something, and he brings something home. And so he's not going to be satisfied until he goes out and finds and gets that prey. Problem is, how many of us are satisfied with our Christianity, with the level of spirituality that we think that we have, that we've achieved what we need, and, well, I'm doing fine, I'm doing well. In fact, I could say, even as I think about myself, at no time am I doing well in and of myself. Ultimately, the desire is, I need to press on. I need to have more of Jesus. I need more of him in my heart and my life. Because without him, I'm doomed. Without him, I'm lost. Without him, I continue to fail. I continue to make mistakes. I continue to do that which is dishonoring and displeasing to him. And so ultimately, it's a intense desire to follow after the Savior, so that as he is the vine and we're the branches, we gain that spiritual daily sustenance from him, that he gives us of his Spirit working in us daily, so that we would be mature minded, so that we will be dependent upon God, not to, at no time will we ever be self-dependent, but dependent upon him in all things. And so that he would increase in our lives and we would decrease. I mean, isn't that what John said in his gospel? We need ourselves to decrease, and each day that he would increase in our hearts and our lives. Do you have that mindset? Are you desiring that Christ increases in your life, that you have more of that relationship with him in your life? Because remember, we need him in all things, and without him, we're lost. Today, we can only live for God because of Christ, because of the life that we have within our hearts. He's the one who saved us from ourselves. I mean, certainly Paul had nothing to boast in. I mean, he had quite a pedigree, quite a history, quite a past. He had a number of accomplishments that I know myself I could never even reach. But yet, how did he view these things? They're nothing. They're nothing. I want Christ. I want Christ. Because ultimately, Christ grants us the resources that we need day by day, so that we can strive, so that we can battle, so that we can fight the good fight of faith and not just surrender ourselves to the evil one. Remember, we are battling today, and you are battling today three things: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And these things are constantly fighting against you, going on with God, going on with Christ. How do we win that battle? Certainly not from anything that comes within ourselves. It comes from him who's given us his armor so that we can stand against the wiles of the evil one when he attacks us. It's God who works in us. So so that we can stand. It's the Lord who gives us resources so that we can stand. I mean, I shared this illustration just a couple of days ago when I spoke in St. Thomas. But, you know, fathers, normally when you go to a father, what does he have? If you're a child and you think, I need to get something from my dad, it's usually what? The father has his wallet. So if you need money, certainly he'll have money. That's something you want, right? No? He usually has his keys. Always leave home, you know, with your keys. But with your cell phone, now we live in the technological age, so most fellows have their cell phone. And perhaps they might have mint or gum or something like that. You go to a mom, I mean, I think she has everything in that purse, doesn't she? Band-aid, pen, you know, you need some tissue, anything. How many times you go to your mom and, oh yeah, here it is. Just no problem, I have it there for you. I mean, if you go to your dad and you ask your dad for something, usually the response is what? Go speak to your mother. Mother's got to have that. Yeah. Resources, right? Resources. And that's why children are very much dependent upon their parents, aren't they? Because they know, mom and dad's going to take care of me. Mom and dad has what I need. When I go to mom and dad, they're going to know what's best for me. And even when mom and dad say no, right? Sometimes mom and dad say no, right? They don't always give you what you want. But they're going to give you what you need, right? They're going to give you what you need. And that's the same when we come to our Heavenly Father. And He knows our needs before we even ask Him. And He is willing to supply abundantly according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's why we press on. That's why we fight. That's why we persevere. That's why we don't give up. Because our God not only blesses us in this life, but has a purpose to bless us in the life to come as well. And that's where we come to my third point, where essentially we are to go forward because we set our heart on that future prize. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm heading towards something, right? Paul had a goal in his heart and his mind. It was this upward call of God. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ speak to him, save him, bring him to himself. And so he wasn't just a wanderer going here, there, and everywhere, having no direction in his life. He had direction, all right. The direction was Jesus Christ. And that prize of the upward call that God had given to him. And so now he was living for the gospel, desiring to go out and share Jesus with whoever who would listen. He was instrumental in beginning the church, going from place to place. The gospel was vital in his heart and his life. And so he wanted to fulfill that call that God had given to him. And of course, everything of this life took a back seat. Certainly he knew that he needed his temporal needs met. He said, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength because he knows my circumstances. He meets my needs. And some days, even if it's a little supply, or some days it's abundance of supply, no matter what, God is reliable and he's there for me. And so his heart, his desire, his service to his Savior, giving himself to his Savior. And that prize, right? Where was his treasure? It was in heaven. Not on earth. Not where the robber comes in to steal. The moth and the rust corrupts. I can't be taken away. Right? He was looking to that which God had prepared for him in glory. He was looking as Abraham was, right? That city whose maker and builder was God. Abraham was a very wealthy man, but how did he view his wealth? Oh, this is temporal. Lord is good. He's blessed. This is temporal. My focus is upon that city, that greater wealth, that which God has prepared for me, the greater prize. I mean, Moses, here he was, a prince in Egypt. He had the best of everything. But how did he view his position, his wealth, all that he was blessed with? God had blessed him with all this stuff. He saw it as nothing. He'd rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the treasures on earth that were temporal. And so ultimately, if we're to have a forward focus, may we not cling so tightly to the temporal of this world, to the material things of this world. Certainly, if the Lord blesses us with material things, we praise Him and we thank Him. We need our temporal needs met, but we're not living for the temporal. We're living for that which is eternal, because remember, it's God who has called us to Himself. You and I are bought with a price, not our own. So we're to glorify God in our body and our spirit that belong to Him. We belong to Him. We're children of the King. And so Paul's goal then was complete knowledge of Christ, both in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. No matter what he would endure, he's not giving up. He's going forward. And when the goal was reached, the prize would be fully his. It would not be taken away. It's not searching after fool's gold. The Lord does not deceive his people. The promises of God are real. This book is revelation to us. That's why we rest in his word. This is a foundation for our faith right here. We don't rest in our feelings. Our feelings fail us. We don't come to this book in our own attitude. That fails us. We take God at His word and what He has said to us, and we rest in it. The Lord grant us faith to rest in it. And so what is the goal of your life? How are you viewing 2016, this year that is before you? How are you going to use this year to serve your Savior? How are you going? What steps are you going to take to mature in your faith? How are you going to allow this book to impact your life? Don't be satisfied with a little bit of Christ, a little bit of religion. You also are called to press on, to strive for more, to know Him. To know the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, grow in Christ. Here's treasure. Here's your prize. Remember, you have an upward call that God has given to you. Make sure that you lay hold upon it. No matter what happened in this past year, remember the year is gone. The years are gone. But also remember, the Lord can restore the years the locusts have eaten. And you can live a life of full service to Christ in assurance of faith, because Christ has given all for you. Rest in Him. Rest in His finished work. And live this new year that is before you for Him. Grow in grace and knowledge of Christ. Make that your goal so that you will be forward thinking. Amen. Let us pray for God's blessing upon His word.